Hello, Michael here. Welcome to Acquisitions Anonymous. As of today, the number 18th most popular entrepreneurship podcast in the United States. So thank you for being part of the journey and supporting us. We are super grateful. Bill and I were here today and did a deal I thought was pretty cool. It was a niche e-commerce vendor selling leather-made goods to wealthy men of means and sophistication. And this one was submitted by a listener. And Bill and I had a ton of fun going through it. So for those of you keeping track at home, we liked this deal as well and think this is a pretty good business and worth digging into. And evidently, one of our listeners did too, because the listener's friend is under LOI to buy the company. We don't know who that is, but the listener suggested all that. And we went through the deal today to tell them what we think about it. So here is the episode. Today's sponsor is Acquirera, your acquisition in a box service. Acquirera exists to help you find, evaluate, and close on a small business, all in under a year. Their team has bought and operated over 30 businesses across three different portfolios, so they practice what they preach. With Acquirera, you can choose to go through their accelerator, set up your investment thesis, and finance creative business by yourself, or Acquirera can do it for you. Their search team scours the continental U.S. for a business matching your thesis and gets it under LOI. Their unique business model combines an accelerator and an investment fund. They can take on minority interest in the business, making them something like a search fund, only you maintain majority control. Once you've signed an LOI, their M&A advisors provide individualized support through the entire diligence and closing process. They'll provide guidance toward your offer structure, in-depth financial and operational due diligence, and securing funding for your deal. They will fly out to the business with you, and once you acquire a business, they can help you grow it as well. Acquirera's ACE framework will help you transition that business from owner-operated to management-led, increasing profits and allowing you to step away from the daily operations and enjoy doing more of what you love. And if more of what you love is buying and growing more businesses, they can help you build portfolio businesses and eventually get liquidity from that portfolio by selling it to a financial buyer or selling it to its employees. Space is limited each month, so if you're looking to acquire a cash-flowing business this year, sign up now at acquirera.com/pod-lander. And again, that's acquirera.com/pod-lander. Bill,
I'm getting surprised live on the air with a deal.
I click record and I haven't told Bill what the deal is. Bill, why don't we just cover the first issue, which is how sad you are that it's not another sex chocolate business?
I was told it's an e-commerce business. And I said, oh man, is it another sex chocolate business? And Michael said he can never neither confirm nor deny.
It is just that good. It involves something close to sex chocolate, which is leather. So I'm sure you'll be into that.
What kind?
So let me pull it up here and we'll go through it. It's from our favorite brokerage in the world, soon to be sponsor, hopefully, Quiet Light. Wait, do we want Quiet Light as a sponsor?
Quiet Light as a sponsor. We've had no discussions with them, but I would love it if they would sponsor us.
If you know someone at Quiet Light, tell them that they need to send us some money. That's it.
Yep.
By the way, we have been, you know, we talked to sponsors, and Bill, I would like to compliment you on being much better at consultative sales than I am. So thank you for jumping in last night on our thread with the other potential advertisers. So I was impressed.
You're welcome.
All right. So here's the deal. It's from Quiet Light. I'll read it. It's an SBA pre-qualified, which that's BS. That doesn't
means
happen.
Nothing. Means nothing.
That means nothing. If you read that, that means nothing. 9+ year old leather goods e-com brand, 34% repeat purchase rate and 54% growth year to date. It is currently under offer. Normally, we don't bring stuff that's under offer, but the fact that a listener sent this one would be interesting to us. So I brought it. I brought it today.
So 50% chance the listener is the one that's under offer, right? And we're about to do some free due diligence for him.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but a lot of social media is full of lies. Which to me is kind of the fun part of like reading Twitter is reading it and being like, so you just quoted revenue growth, but no profits, huh? And you're implying that it's highly profitable? I don't believe you. So anyway, revenue is $2 million. Income is $564,000. And they're selling at a multiple of income of 3.12. The asking price is $1.76 million. So plus inventory. So I guess they're not including inventory in the number. Launched in 2014, this e-commerce business has, over the last 9 years, established itself as one of the category-leading brands in the luxury leather goods space, building incredible customer loyalty. Setting itself apart with its unique styles and superior product quality, the business enjoys a remarkable 34% customer purchase rate. Aimed at wealthy, style-conscious men, the business has developed multiple winning evergreen products in the belt, wallet, and watch band categories, encouraging bulk purchasing, bundle sales, and gifting, all of which contribute to its growing $200-plus AOV. Thus far this year, the business is already up 54% on 2022. By the way, I have a buddy who owns exactly this business for leather goods here in San Antonio. Like, we could talk about
it. It's a very Texas business, right?
Well, it's super interesting that they talk about this repeat purchase being 35%. It turns out that people that want to buy one leather handmade good are the same people that want to buy 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 leather handmade goods, because you need a handmade wallet to go with your handmade leather watch strap. And then they make all kinds of other stuff, belts. My buddy, they actually make like these like weird satchels and folios and stuff. So you can be like that guy that shows up to your lawyer's office with like a leather bound like folio. Like,
that guy usually is your lawyer, actually.
Yeah, it's just odd. It's cow skin. Like, why do you want to wear cow?
Why? I don't know. I mean, leather is awesome. I'm not wearing them right now, but I do have a pair of cowboy boots that I really like.
I thought you were going to say chaps.
I am wearing those right now.
Oh, man. Okay. In terms of the day-to-day, the business is run in a highly effective way, with day-to-day operations handled by a COO managing a small network of service providers. I was just visualizing you sitting in your chair with chaps on. I'm so sorry.
Get into YouTube.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Yeah. Okay. This network, the service providers will come with scale. Okay. So that's interesting. That's something for us to put a pin into, how this stuff is getting done. Because I think there's two ways you can have a small subscale deal like this. You can either have people on your staff that are in there doing the leather work for you, or you can be outsourcing it to contractors. And it looks like
this is outsourced to contract manufacturing 100%. So this, just to say this again, the business is run in a highly effective way, with the day-to-day operations handled by a COO, who is the most title-inflated person in the world, managing a small network of service providers, aka Upworkers. And this network of service providers will come with the sale. So what you have here is a CEO, the owner, who is selling it and piecing out. What he essentially has is a general manager, or like, you know, one in-house guy who is sort of managing a whole bunch of foreigners, likely on Upwork, who are running the business.
Yeah. There are significant opportunities for growth in the year ahead. Previously tested and successful products ready for production, the availability of a full 2023 product launch pipeline, and a fully produced content catalog for the year. The reason for the sale is that the owner is expecting his second child later this year, and having achieved what he set out to do with the business, is now looking to spend time with his young family. And that is all they say about this. And then they show us here David Newell, who is our advisor. Doing pretty good there, David, with your photo.
Great photo. Kind of
stuff. I'd work with David.
The Quiet Light guys are first class. Yeah, I mean, this guy has 4 years in M&A at Citigroup. You know, he's a real deal. Not touching his face or wearing a hat. Professional photography. Legit.
He looks like a nice guy. He looks like, yeah, done 75 transactions. So, Bill, are you ready to augment your supply of leather chaps and folios with this SBA pre-qualified 9-year-old leather goods business that does $2 million in revenue?
Okay, so this is not a bad business on its face.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's, you know, what I like about this business is it has a huge market, right? I mean, wallets and belts, like, your market is every man, and women wear belts and have wallets too, and then women buy belts and wallets for men. So your TAM is giant. Almost anyone can be a customer. The double-edged sword of really big TAMs, especially online, is that online is very often, I don't want to say it's perfectly competitive in an economic sense, but it is damn competitive, which means that if it was easy for this guy to boot up to, you know, $2 million in sales, it's usually easy for a bunch of competitors too. You are never going to differentiate in belts and wallets and whatever. Like, whatever pattern you stamp on it, someone has stamped on it before. So what you really have here is not a product innovation business. you have a demand acquisition business. So this business, in order to win in a big category, you've got to be good at capturing demand, right? And your product's probably not be all that differentiated. Let's be real. You got to either be good at Facebook ads or well-positioned on Amazon or great at Google ads or good at TikTok, or like, this business has something that lets it capture demand and $2 million a year of demand somewhere, yeah. Somehow.
My buddy's business that does this here in San Antonio, and by the way, he quit like a highly paid engineering job to go do this thing. But basically, they've built a pretty good brand that is like a man, a lifestyle manly man brand. This guy's kind of a manly man. I'm not very manly. He's much more manly than me.
More like Mills with big beard. Yeah. You know.
I would describe Mills more manly to me. I still haven't met Mills in person. He could really be not very manly.
So. Mills is manly as shit. Let me tell you, I have been camping with Mills. he blows us all out of the water.
Okay.
Beard, the cargo pants, the knife, the whole thing.
I think I got invited on this camping trip by the person who organized it. And my immediate response was, sleep outside? ?
So, dude, Michael, one guy on this trip, no joke, lugged a CPAP and battery back, like into the backwoods. This thing must have weighed 50 pounds. This guy was so committed to come on the trip. I was impressed.
Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah. It was a fun trip.
It seems like it was amazing. So, I mean, ultimately, like when I dig down what this guy has, you know, my buddy has in terms of value there, it's a brand. I mean, that is the core of it. It's not, you know, it's the equivalent of Louis Vuitton is not like about their bags are not any better than anybody else's, but it does say Louis Vuitton on the side. So everybody knows it costs $50,000. And that's why.
But let's be real. That's what consumer products is.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like it is very, very rare that you come across, especially in this end of the market, a company that has truly unique and differentiated IP and unique and differentiated IP that is so attractive to the market that it actually creates a moat.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's easy to patent something stupid that nobody wants, right? That doesn't count. But if you have something patented that everybody wants, you are, I can't afford it, right? Like you are out of our end of the market.
Well, and this is in the category of clothing, right? Like with you can't patent clothing designs.
Right. So there's really nothing here except brand. And that's not bad. It's just true.
So number one, I'm buying brand, which number two has a dedicated customer list and following that comes with it. And then number three, like way down number three, sounds like I'm buying connections to these suppliers, right? And that track record there. That's pretty much what I'm buying.
Pretty much. I mean, what you're likely buying, it doesn't say in this listing, but if this is an Amazon business, part of what you're buying is the Amazon listings and all the review history. Some people have tried to lead buyers to believe that Amazon listings and review history is like oceanfront real estate, or actually they say it's like Fifth Avenue real estate. Like they're not making any more of it. And, you know, you can leverage it, you know, because you rank number one for yoga mats or whatever. I would argue it's much more like beachfront real estate in that it's great for now until the hurricane comes and the shoreline gets redrawn. It's
more like Miami Beach real estate. That's how I think about it. Minus 5 feet of elevation.
Yeah. So it's good, but it's not fortress Fifth Avenue real estate good. So great for raising capital, though, for an Amazon aggregator. Good analogy.
Man, the stories you're reading about Amazon aggregators anecdotally on Twitter now are like, oh, hey, we told you so. And it's like exactly the way we thought.
I am really having a hard time not taking a victory lap, but I'm bigger than that. I don't like dancing on people's graves. A lot of people are in a lot of hurt, but.
Yeah. Well, here's the stupid part. Like, you know, I don't know anything about this space. Like I just asked dumb questions and then like, but even I could see the way it was going. Like how could these really like these VCs not see how it was going? Like that's what, you know, like if you're doing $200 million into one of these companies, that's an aggregator and you can't see that this is a red ocean coming very quickly. And you have a bunch of Harvard MBAs working for you and like Stanford law grads, like, I don't get it. like who thought it was a good idea?
I don't
get
it.
Like Chump Boy in San Antonio, you know, owns a fireworks business, could see where that was going. And anyway, that's what kind of blows my mind is how, you know, when you, a lot of times when you dig down underneath these VC and PE firms, they're still just people making questionable decisions. A lot.
Yeah. So, well, a lot of it is we've raised a crap load of capital and we have to deploy it. So yeah. YOLO, right?
Yeah. The definite principal agent problem with all that. So
another thing that's interesting about this business. So it's 9 years old, like do this math with me, right? It's 9 years old, says in the title. It has 2 million in sales and it's grown 54% year to date. So that means last year it was 1 million in sales, right? And you still got 8 years back to go of the company history. So my questions become, you know, this thing didn't grow. Did it grow 50% a year for 8 years or for 9 years, right? I mean, there is a number. You could start with $50 in sales, you know, and put it to the 1.5th power every time. But, you know, eventually, that's probably not what happened. So what I'm saying is there is likely an inflection point somewhere, and I'd like to find it. And I would be pretty nervous if the inflection point was last year, the year before they sell the business.
Trying to see if the listener gave us any stuff that's part of it. No, just want to know what you think, because the listener's friend is buying the business.
Oh, like, there you go. I knew it. Free diligence.
This ties to our, you know, listeners, no surprise to you. We're planning, we've had people approach us and we're planning on offering it as a service where you can pay us to analyze your deal for you. By the way, if you want us to do that, it's not going to be cheap, but it'll be good and fun, I promise. And we'll spend time with you. But anyway, did I just ruin our launch? Anyway.
Pretty much, but that's okay.
nobody cares. That's one of the things with like starting new businesses. Everybody's always like, oh, I should pick like the opportune moment. Like, and I'm like, eh, don't keep it a secret. Like if it's any good,
just blurts it out.
Yeah. If it's any good, like then like just talk about it. Like that's the thing I think everybody gets wrong. Like if I have an idea, like I talk to everybody about it. Like I just tell, I'll put it on a podcast. I don't care. Because realistically, like if it's that good of an idea, it doesn't matter if I tell anybody. But if it matters that I tell everybody and the idea suddenly becomes bad, that makes it a very bad idea. That's my conclusion there. So
yeah, because once you launch it and you start selling to customers, you've effectively told everybody. And if you can't defend that, it wasn't a good thing to start anyway.
100%.
Here's another thing that I maybe like about this business, which is the last paragraph, which you didn't read, which says the reason for the sale is that the owner is expecting his second child later this year. Having achieved what he set out to do with the business, is now looking to sell to spend time with his young family. So what I like about this is that this is a like credible life reason to sell a business.
Yeah.
Right. So it sounds terrible to say, but like the best reason to sell a business is health issues.
Right.
Right. Like that's the, if you're the buyer and that's why the seller is selling, that's very believable. He's not trying to pull one over on you. Right. So like life event issues, I find the most credible when you're looking at reasons to sell a business. But the things that I find the least credible are retirement, spend more time with family, pursue other business ventures, my favorite one, which is another way of saying, this is the shittiest business I have. I don't want to do it anymore.
You're just describing our coffee business sale.
No one is pressing on that, but
well, hopefully at least, you know, for those of you listening today, we announced the sale of our coffee business. And I mean, this is the truth with that. It's like, oh, there's better owners for this business than us. And I have more entertaining stuff to work on. so that's what this is about. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
So it's not to say that that's always BS,
right?
But I do more and more diligence on the seller's reason for selling, the weaker that reason is.
100%.
But this one, like having a second kid, been in the business for 9 years, like I could see it believably, this guy is just done with this business.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's also a possibility here. You look at this brand and it is targeted at, to quote them, wealthy style conscious men. Like once you become a dad of a couple kids, the wealthy thing definitely starts going the other direction. And the style conscious thing definitely goes the other direction as well. Like it's just a matter of time until you're wearing Crocs to your kids' graduation. So I can see also why the interest in this would change. You know, unfortunately, this guy didn't try to pivot it to like, you know, leather diaper caddies or anything like that. Like I'll give him at least that kind of.
You don't know that. You don't know what kind of leather goods they are.
So really like evaluating a business like this, I would have to just think about like, what does this brand look like? how do I grow that brand? How do I continue to leverage it? And then how durable is it compared to other brands? Is it pretty differentiated? What kind of communication and connection do I have to my customers? That's what this whole thing comes down to. And maybe that's why.
Yeah, and I just don't think it is. Like in this category and at this size, you know, small businesses don't stay small on purpose.
Yeah.
This business has been around with the same brand, presumably, for 9 years, and it has $2 million in sales, right? It's not, there's not something so magical about the brand that it's that freaking different. Now, it does not mean that this is a bad business and you shouldn't buy it. It's just that, like, this, what's going to take this business to the next level is not the brand. I mean, I'll tell you what it is right now. Like, you buy this business, you got two ways to grow it, and only two ways. You can either launch more products, right? Which basically expands your TAM. Like, if you have belts and wallets, but you don't have shoes or whatever, launch shoes, and now you're in the shoe TAM, right? So you can grow this business by launching products. You can grow this business by capturing more demand, because there's just an evergreen demand for wallets and belts and all that stuff. So you can either, you can get better at advertising, you can, you know, lower your prices, get better merchandising, whatever it might be, rank better on Google, better SEO, rank better on Amazon, like find a way to capture more demand. Or I guess the third way is to put the product in more channels. So if it's not, you know, if it's just an online business and it's not on Amazon, take it to Amazon. If it's on Amazon and .com, see if you can take it to retail. Like, those are the only three ways you grow this business, right? New products, capture more demand, or new channels.
It's really interesting. And think about the mindset of the buyer, this wealthy style-centric male buyer. They don't want to buy the wallet that everybody else has. They want their wallet to be making a unique individual statement. And so there's actually like this kind of reverse virality to it, right? Where like viral products, like you're like, hey, Bill, like you need to go buy this, you know, you need to go buy Culture Index, Bill. Like that's some, that's a virality kind of thing. By the way, I still make no money from that whatsoever. It's the most girdly move ever. They've never called me to offer me money. By the way, they should sponsor this podcast. That's what I think. But anyway, there's a level of reverse virality here where this business, because it goes to, you know, the guy that doesn't want everybody else to have the exact same thing, is damn sure not going to explain to somebody else, oh, you could just go get the same wallet at so-and-so place, like, or go to this website, because he wants to be the only one with a wolf wallet or whatever the name of this thing is, because you know it has a name like that too. Because if it's targeting a wealthy style conscious man, like, these people are desperate for some manliness.
I mean, I hope it is. There is a good chance, by the way, you sign the NDA on this and you figure out that it's just on, it's a bunch of Amazon wallets. Ugh. Right? Or it's a bunch of, or so there's behind door number, there's three doors, right? You sign the NDA, there's three doors here. Behind door number one is bunch of Amazon wallets, garbage, right? Like, not, okay, I'm moving on. As soon as I find out this is 100% Amazon business and it's leather goods, which there are a bazillion and all the Chinese are competing with you on Amazon, and for that reason, I'm out, right? So that's door number one. Door number two, you find sort of a mixed bag, you know, kind of multi-channel, still probably pretty lower end, you know, undifferentiated, you know, thing. Behind door number three, and the best thing is a .com only business with great Facebook advertising. And the way it's working is they're really good at ad creative. It's compelling and catchy, and it's driving straight from a Facebook ad to some sort of lander. And as a result of great advertising and great funnel, they're selling a $3 wallet for $100 right there in the funnel.
Right.
I will give you an example, and that is a very interesting business. I'll give you an example of a business that's exactly like that. Listeners may have heard of Ridge Wallet.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're a man, you've seen their ads. Sean Frank, who runs that business, is one of the best advertiser minds I have ever met. Hmm. The guy is an absolute genius. And I talked to Sean, and he goes, yeah, every 10 seconds, someone in China pops up and makes our exact same wallet, right? It's metal and plastic or carbon fiber or whatever. They got a whole bunch of different versions, but it's essentially one product. And a shitty Chinese version of it pops up literally every day for, no joke, 90% cheaper. And yet Ridge is a massive company because they're barely on Amazon. The way you find out about a Ridge is you see ads for it and you go right through their funnel and you pay $100 for a Ridge wallet. And it's, they built a prestige brand and they partner with other brands and they give away an F-150 every year. And they've built a real brand. and people buy it because it's a Ridge wallet, not because it is a wallet that has the functionality that their wallet has, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Those are the best e-com businesses because they're actually brands, not just e-com businesses.
I like it. I don't own a Ridge wallet. It's because I'm such a dork. I think that's my problem. It's target market for them.
Talk about brand. If you bought a Ridge wallet, you would be a lot cooler, right? That's, you could make yourself cool by buying a Ridge wallet. Okay. Your kids would think you were cool.
No, they don't.
They would if you had Ridge wallet.
No, they don't. Actually, I think I got a good relationship with my kids. Hopefully, they don't listen to this podcast, so they won't argue with me. I don't know if you noticed, but my son is on Twitter. Have you seen him?
No, I need to follow him.
Oh, he comes in and drops. He just comes in from the top rope like once every quarter. He'll just be like, making fun of me for something. Yeah. This is a 17-year-old just comes in and just like Jimmy Superfly snuck on whatever I said. She's like, this is dumb, Dad.
I love that.
Well, I did a 100-mile bike ride, and the 100-mile bike ride basically had you go in a huge horseshoe and finish like a mile away from where you started. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was basically that. And he's like, I don't know, Dad, instead of riding 100 miles in a big ass circle, why don't you just do this? And he took MS Paint and just drew a line from start to finish directly. And it was just like the best Seth moment. Kudos to Seth Gurdley. He's got a Twitter future in front of him.
Totally going to follow him. I mean, you don't want your kids to think you're too cool. If your kids think you're cool, you're probably doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah. Amen to that. And well, it's one of those things, like I struggle with other parents and they forget the forest for the trees on parenting. And it's like, you see all this stuff on Twitter where people are like talking about like, oh, the moments are so special. Like, you know, the days are long, the years are short and all that kind of stuff. And I agree with all that. Like it's special, but like none of that really matters if your kid turns 18 and they are not the best prepared for life that they can be. Right. And that will mean that those moments, there are going to be some terrible ass moments as a parent where you have to make sure, like, instead of trying to get the most fulfillment from any individual moment, you are doing what is best for that kid to be the best adult that they can possibly be. Because I've seen it both ways. And like that is where the forest for the trees gets missed with some parents I know, where they're just like shielding their kid from all this adversity, or like not shielding themselves from have adversity as well, because they want to make it easier on them and the kids and enjoy the moment. And it's like, yeah, the moments are good, but the most important thing is that kid's got to be ready for life. Otherwise you suck as a parent. That's my two cents. Gridley rant.
Rant over.
Rant complete. All right. Well, look, I think we like this one. Hey, and congratulations to you. For those of you that are still here as part of our community, and you, Bill, we hit our all-time highest chart ranking as of yesterday, 18th in entrepreneurship in the United States. But that none of that matters because we made 79th in business podcasts in Canada, and we don't even like Canada. That was a joke I did on Twitter. Nobody appreciated that, including my Canadian employees.
Well, if they would tell more people about it, maybe we would be better.
It is kind of interesting that you look at the cities where we're popular, and there's like New York, LA, Chicago, all the usual suspects. But then like San Antonio and Charlotte are like 9 and 11.
Really?
it's like, oh, I think I got this figured out.
A little bit of a hometown listen, which is good.
But yeah, if you would leave us a review. We love reading the reviews. They're inspiring. We've got a bunch of 5-star reviews. And then some guy who left us a 1-star review, but no comment, which still has me miffed. Like, I'm still like,
ice cold, hurt. Man.
That would burn.
Well, you know what burns worse? And this is coming from an e-commerce seller, right? Who gets many reviews of all-star levels every day. What really burns me is somebody is like, this product is fantastic. Really liked it. Helped out a lot. 3 stars. And you're just like, what? Like, come on, man. Or 4 stars. You know, like
my other favorite one is when people go on Amazon and hijack like the reviews and comment sections for like random products and then turn them into discussions about like other stuff. I got to dig up some of those, but they are just like the funniest of funny things where it's just like, you know, some sort of like, you know, antifungal cream. And next thing you know, it turns into a geopolitical discussion. Just the best.
Yes.
All right. We'll wrap it up there.
Love it.
And please open up your podcast app. Make sure you're subscribed on every single one of your devices. Because downloads help us, and leave us a review, and we will be your best friends forever and ever.